following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
So as I told those gathered here, some of you have come back, what I mentioned last night is this is basically a two-parter, as we're looking at two aspects of what God has done through Jesus, as expressed in this passage. Last night, we looked at how he is the light, how he came to enlighten us. We hear a lot about enlightenment, and that's a real thing. We need enlightenment because we naturally live in the dark. Jesus is the light, and through him, we can not only know his light, be filled with his light, but we ourselves can be God's light shining in this dark world. I'm not too sure when I will be able to post the message from last night, but eventually it'll be up on the allsaintslutheran.ca website, so you can listen to it there if you are interested. This morning, I'm going to look at something that is more core to this passage. John begins with what would have been to his readers a very important and well-known concept. The Greek word, John wrote in Greek, and he uses the Greek word logos, translated word. In the beginning was the logos. And the logos was with God, and the logos was God. And then down in the last verse that I read, verse 14, and the Logos became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. In one of Paul's letters to Timothy, Paul says that Jesus came in the fullness of time. Years ago, I was doing a talk and somebody asked the question, why did it take so long for Jesus to come? Well, it's because he came at the time that he needed to come. And one of the things that was happening then was there was this a convergence between two things. And it had to do with this particular time in the Jewish world and at the particular time in the Greek world. This was the time of the Roman Empire. And by and large, the Roman Empire had taken Greek culture. The Greek Empire was the one before the Roman Empire. And Greek philosophy, Greek thought, Greek religion, Greek way of life was basically the worldview of that part of the world. And it conflicted with the Jewish worldview. The Jewish worldview, as expressed in the scriptures, was God's perspective of life. And this term logos in Greek represents the Hebrew word davar. Davar. And davar means word. It could also mean thing. And the fact that it can mean word or thing is something I'll have to leave for another time. But davar is the word for word. In fact, you may not know that when the Bible, in the books of Moses, when it refers to the Ten Commandments, there is no reference to the Ten Commandments. We call them the Ten Commandments because they are Ten Commandments. It doesn't need to be that complicated or difficult, you know. But that's the English way to refer to it. The Hebrew term in the books of Moses is actually, when referring to the Ten Commandments, they're called the Ten Words, Devarim, the Ten Words. Word is an essential concept in the Hebrew scriptures. So what John is doing here is he brings together the Greek philosophical concept of logos, which was very important to the pagan world of his day, and he associates it rightly with this fundamental Hebrew concept of Devar, the Word of God. As I mentioned last night, God as communicator is essential to the universe. It's essential to the story of Scripture. The Bible begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then there's a brief description about how the earth was formless, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, it says. And then it says, and God said, let there be light. And Genesis chapter 1 takes us through God purposely creating all the various aspects of the creation. And God said, and so it was. And God said, and so it was. The world was created by the Word of God. And John is telling us that the communicativeness, however it should be said, of God is actually God himself. That somehow God in his godness is a communicator of meaningful, dynamic, powerful, life-giving information. He speaks the world into existence. Now, I don't know a lot about this, but it appears that the more science examines the creation, it discovers that at its core is information. I've got to be careful that I don't try to explain beyond my understanding. But as they've discovered more and more about this thing called DNA, which is that which makes each of us individuals and is part of all living beings in creation, DNA is code. It's information. Information isn't something we made up. It didn't come about through an evolutionary process by itself. Information, meaningful information, is at the core of all existence. It's at the core of all existence because it's at the core of God himself. That the Son of God can even be referred to as the Word of God. As a little bit of a tangent, this is why what we say is so important. I'm going to talk about this a little later on. I'm going to be away. I'm going to be in town. I'm taking some days off after this busy time getting ready for these services for Christmas. But next week, former pastor Doug Krantz will be here covering for me, for which I'm very grateful. And then, God willing, I'll be back in the new year. And my plan is to start a series on the Gospel of Mark. I think I went on a tangent and then another tangent, so now I'm going to come back. So anyway, something that I've been giving some thought to more and more. Oh, I remember what it is now. It doesn't have to do anything with the Gospel of Mark. Yes, it does. Actually, I did learn it from the Gospel of Mark. I'll get this all together in a minute. Okay, thank you so much. It's one of the wonderful things is that I'm the one who edits the audio, so I could always take this stuff out. There really is power in the words that we speak. When I came to the Lord when I was 19, I've been talking about this a little bit over last Sunday, quite a bit. I was a mess. I came from a messed up family. I knew nothing about Jesus. I heard about him in a real way for the first time in my life, September the 3rd, 1976. It was a 90-minute session with somebody that I met for the first time. He shared with me the predictions about the Messiah from hundreds of years before Jesus came. in the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. I'd never seen this before. It was all brand new to me. And he said, if I would say these words, this prayer, asking God to forgive me for my sins and asking Jesus to come into my life, if I would say these words, God would change me. That was a long time ago. And I've thought about that occasion over and over and over again. I talk about it whenever I get a chance. People ask me questions about it. I'm still analyzing it. One of the things about it is, how much did I know that day? Almost nothing. Most of what this young man told me was absolutely true. There are aspects of it. I think he was a little bit, he was young. He was a bit naive. And basically, he told me, just say this prayer and God's going to work in your life. And I would never say that to anybody now, because it seems to me you got to really mean it. You got to really understand it. But one of the things I discovered in the Gospel of Mark, and this is a little bit how I connected all this, so I'm not so crazy after all, something that I keep telling myself. You know the story of the woman with the flow of blood? Maybe you don't know the story. So Jesus is in this crowd, and they're going somewhere. And in fact, he's told there's this daughter, the daughter of the synagogue official who's dying, and he's on his way to their house to heal the daughter. And on the way, there's a woman who had a hemorrhage, a flow of blood, for 12 years. And she actually, when she sees it's Jesus coming, she pushes her way through the crowd, which she really shouldn't have done, because in that culture, according to God, she was what was called unclean. And everybody she touched, because she had a hemorrhage, would have become unclean too. But she didn't care. And she pushes her way through the crowd, and she's thinking, if only I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She broke through, she touched the hem of the garment, she was instantly healed, and then tried to get away without being known, and then we don't need to get into the rest of the story right now. Except for the fact that Jesus found her out and told her, your faith has healed you. How much did that lady understand? How much theology did she know? How much Bible did she have memorized? How many courses did she take first and then go through some very complicated healing thing? It seemed, and we'll talk about it again when we get there, God willing, is she hardly knew anything about this Jesus. She just knew that he was around, that he was healing. And she got it in her head somehow that if she broke through the crowd and touched his garment, she'd be healed. And so she did, and she was. And she's not the only example of that. In fact, I believe that in Gospel Mark in particular, she's contrasted with the religious leaders, that they had to understand everything. And this wasn't adding up. And this didn't really make sense. And he's not going to the right church and synagogue. And he's didn't get his degrees. And what is all about this? And you know how many blessings those people received? None. Zero. And yet you get these people who, what did they know? If only I can get through the crowd, and I don't care. People shouting, and the disciples are trying to make them quiet. And the Lord, who does the Lord give his attention to? The people with childlike faith. And only God knows what happened to me all those years ago. But cynical, depressed, skeptical, unbelieving me was told, say these words, ask Jesus into your life, and he will make you happy. And I thought I had everything to gain and nothing to lose. And so I just repeated the words of this prayer, and it worked. And I've been trying to understand it ever since. And maybe I should stop trying to understand it and just enjoy it. It's so simple. Jesus came to set us free. And I'm going to try, with the little time remaining, briefly explain what God did. Because while on one hand, it's so simple that a child could experience it. I was going to say a child could understand it. It's not about understanding it. It's about responding to it. And that's why children can get it so easily, because children are often free to respond. And we're so sophisticated. We sophisticate ourselves into the darkness. And God's calling us to come out of the shadows. What we see here in John chapter 1 is that dynamic of God, the Word of God, the communication of God, the Son of God, entered into His creation. The Bible tells us that God created the universe and that He created everything good and that He put a man and a woman in a garden to care for it. God did not expect the creation just to run on its own. He put human beings into the creation to be its caretakers, its stewards, its servant, to represent God on earth. But as you know, Adam and Eve didn't listen to the Word of God, but listened to the serpent's word, inspired by the devil himself, and turned from the Word of God to the Word of the creation, going by what their eyes saw, following their feelings. They did what God told them not to do and ate of the fruit and brought in death and destruction into the creation. And we've been suffering from that ever since. But from those early days, God determined to rescue and restore His creation, that someone would one day come who would crush the serpent's head and set us free from his deception. How did He do this? He did it by entering into the creation Himself. God desired to reestablish the connection with Him that was broken in the garden. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "For in Him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross." Jesus, through what He did, put everything in the creation back in order. He did this by becoming part of it Himself, by facing the onslaught of the evil that was in the world. It all came against Him. And by doing that, He was able to undo it. So by succumbing to the worst of this world, including death, Jesus conquered death and has poured out His resurrection life upon His followers, so that we can share His resurrection life with others until He returns to complete His plan of restoration. Through the Son of God's entering into the creation, we have been restored to our rightful place in the universe. By dying on the cross and rising from the dead, Jesus has undone evil, death, and destruction. And by putting our trust in Him, we are not only restored to God, but we become part of His restoration plan, His restoration mission on this earth. I hadn't seen the young man who brought me to the Lord or talked to him in about 40 years. He went on his way and we were out of each other's life. And somebody mentioned to him once, I gave a talk and I was sharing my story with this group. And somebody asked about this young man, what happened to him? And because of our social media age, I was able to find him. And we had a phone conversation. And he knew nothing about what happened within about a year after I came to the Lord and all that God had done in giving me a wonderful wife and 10 wonderful, amazing children, and now grandchildren, and all the adventures that we've had through the years, not without challenges. And I got to tell him about the fruit of what God had done through a conversation he had with me so long ago. And he was so overwhelmingly blessed to hear that this, how the seed that he had planted had made such a difference in our lives and in so many other people's lives who have been blessed by what God has done through us. And that's what God wants for us. He's not asking us to accomplish great things, but he wants to instill in us the power of his Son so that we could share that with others, so that they might experience his power, his love, his forgiveness, and that they might bear fruit in a very needy and suffering dark world. In order for that to happen, we all need to know Jesus personally. If you have never done what I did over 40 years ago and said to God out loud, it's a thing that I like to talk about. There's very little hints of silent prayer in the Bible. There's something about speaking out that makes all the difference. Could you imagine saying to your spouse, your spouse asks you, how come you never say I love you? You say, well, I think about it all the time. There's something about, that may not be the best illustration, but you get the point. There's something about speaking it out loud that makes all the difference. God wants to hear your voice. And if you have never out loud said to God personally, and not just in a service, reading the words, I have sinned. I've messed up with my life. I have done wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins. Forgive me for my wrongs. Thank you for sending your Son to this earth. Thank you that he's died for my sins. Thank you that he's risen from the dead. Lord Jesus, would you please come into my life? Be my Lord. Do with me whatever you want. I want to follow you. If you have never prayed a prayer like that, I encourage you to do so. If you need help with that, I'd be more than happy to do that with you. We could do it right after the service today. Take that step. If you've never taken that step, doesn't matter how young or old you are, and he will come and do a miracle in you with what, however is left of your life. Because we don't know what's going to happen in the next minute, in the next day. You can be a Christmas miracle today. And if you've known the Lord all your life, keep talking to him. Keep asking him. Be open to what he wants to do with you. Because there's many, many more miracles that he has in store for you. If only you would put yourself at his service. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for coming into this world, for gracing us with your presence, with your gift of transformation. May the reality of who you are be ours. Break through where we need you to break through and show your light and your power through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.